Today, we are continuing in the Lenten sermon series of fasting and feasting, and we are thinking today about something kind of appropriate, fasting from lethargy, the yawns and the tiredness and the fatigue, and feasting on enthusiasm. Now, I really like visual aids. I'm a visual person, and it's how I learn. I think it's how a lot of you learn. So I brought this t-shirt with me, and I didn't just bring it because it's purple and it goes so nice with all these banners. I brought it because the message fits the lesson, and I think you can appreciate. This is a gift that I received from a 90-year-old woman who I really admired when I was a hospital chaplain because she really lived her life to the fullest. She did all kinds of world traveling and adventures. She had gone skydiving with her husband, and then after her husband died, with her girlfriends. So she really made the most of life, and she made this for her friends. It's a two-sided message. I'll show it around. On one side, it says, whatever happens, and on the other side, it says, don't miss it. And I just thought that was so great. And I told her I really wanted one. And so she made me one. And I always think of this as a reason to embrace life the way this lady did. This season, I think, is full of so much potential for us to grow deeper, to have this abundant life, but only if we are paying attention, only if we don't miss it. It's very easy for us as human beings to just kind of sleepwalk our way through life, to go through on autopilot. We get through our lives a lot of times rather than actually embracing what's going on. We live for vacations and breaks and special events, and everything in between is a blur. I had a really good friend in seminary who had a huge thing for zombie movies. Not me. I didn't really enjoy too many of the movies that he liked. But there was one that he showed me that I thought was really funny and true to life, and it was called Shaun of the Dead, and it was set in Britain with very British humor. And Shaun, the main character, is a young adult who wakes up one day to the whole world just filled with zombies, and he is one of the only ones who has not turned into a zombie. But the thing is, he doesn't even notice. It takes him days to notice that this has happened. Why? Because it shows he goes about his regular routine of going to get his morning cup of coffee and his paper, getting on the bus, walking into work, and nobody acts any different from normal because their normal behavior is very zombie-like. It's not a lot of friendly interaction or eye contact. It's moving along slow and tired and groaning and yawning from place to place to place. And it's just the same as normal, so he doesn't notice. This is really the extreme picture of that lethargy that I'm talking about. So it really made me laugh, but it seemed so true also, not just of everybody else, of myself also. The scriptures have a lot to say about getting beyond this lethargy and trying to grab hold of life. So, for instance, the Ecclesiastes passage gave birth to a very common phrase that we've all heard, eat, drink, and be merry. Who doesn't love that piece of wisdom? It almost sounds fatalistic when you start to think about it, and Ecclesiastes is known for being the book that says nothing really matters, everything is temporary. It uses the phrase over and over, everything is a chasing after the wind. So it seems like it's saying nothing really matters, but that's not quite the full story, because the author was King Solomon, or some people say one of his sages in his royal court. And he was known for spending his whole life seeking wisdom. So he is not just saying that we should do whatever we want because nothing matters. One of the passages could be easily missed in this whole phrase. Whatever it is that you find to do, do it with all your might. That's at the end of all that eat, drink, and be merry stuff. That whatever it is you find to do, do it with all your might. He says to be able to enjoy life and make the most of it is actually a gift from God. And that's one of the few mentions of God in Ecclesiastes. It doesn't talk about God a lot, but when the author writes about God, he says to be able to enjoy life is a gift from God. There's a Christian writer named Marcus Borg, who maybe some of you have read, and he points out that Ecclesiastes is actually pretty similar to the writings of a Chinese wisdom writer named Lao Tzu. Lao Tzu writes from the perspective of Buddhism, but both say that we as human beings are always trying to control our realities rather than enjoying what has been given to us. We are always grasping for more, and we go around unhappy with what we have that might already be enough for us. Solomon was someone who had everything, everything, but even he, in all of his grasping, was dissatisfied. There's a note of dissatisfaction all throughout Ecclesiastes, an effort to enjoy life, but a dissatisfaction. There's a great story that I think illustrates all this grasping that we do, a very commonplace sort of story. An American businessman took a quick vacation down to the coastal village in Mexico. He went down to the pier to buy fresh fish, where a small boat pulled up to the pier. And inside the boat was a weathered fisherman and several large yellowfin tuna. The businessman complimented the man on the quality of his fish, and he asked him, "How long did it take you to catch those?" And the fisherman replied, "Just a little while." The businessman asked, "Why didn't he stay out longer and catch even more fish?" The man said, "Well, I have enough to support my family's needs," the fisherman said. "What do you do with the rest of your time?" the businessman asked. The fisherman answered, "Well, I sleep late, I fish a little, play with my children, take siestas with my wife, write a little poetry, stroll into the village, sip wine, and play the guitar. I have a full and busy life." Sounds great, right? "Well," said the businessman, "you should spend more time fishing. You would make more money. You could buy a bigger boat, and with the profit from the fish that you could fit into the bigger boat, you could buy several more boats. And eventually you'd have a whole fleet, and you could even open your own cannery. Then you could leave this little village and move to Mexico City and make connections and expand your enterprise." And the fisherman asked, "Okay, how long would all this take?" The businessman calculated, "You could do it in 15 or 20 years." "Okay, and then what?" asked the fisherman. And the businessman beamed, saying, "That's the best part. When the time is right, you'll announce an IPO, and you'll sell your company stock to the public, and you'll be so rich, you'll make millions." "Millions?" marveled the fisherman. "Okay, and then what?" And the businessman smiled and he said, "Well, then you could retire and move to a small coastal village and you could sleep late and you could fish a little and you could play with your grandchildren and sip wine and play the guitar." So all this effort that we spend, all this grasping to get things, when sometimes we already have them right there in our lives in a different way. It's silly, but it is true to life. It's what we do as human beings. We're always grasping. In the gospel today, Jesus uses a very popular metaphor for himself and for God. He says, "I am the shepherd and you are the sheep." And the idea of us as dumb sheep who will follow any voice that calls to us is not very flattering. Most of us don't like that, especially in the United States, because we fancy ourselves to be leaders, not followers. We are self-made people who are strong and self-reliant, and we labor under the illusion that we can make things happen for ourselves without help or without someone guiding us or protecting us. We think we can handle life just fine on our own, and we don't need a shepherd. We're so busy trying to run the show that we don't notice all the ways that God is trying to take care of us, to call us into greener pastures or an easier way of life for us. So our autopilot, our belief that we can take care of ourselves, our just getting through life, all of this really, to me, adds up to sloth, which may sound weird. Last week we talked about anger and wrath, and this week, sloth. Sloth is often seen as being a couch potato, not working, not doing anything, just mere laziness. So me watching 3 movies in a row yesterday sounds like sloth. And it probably is. But it goes much deeper than that, because sloth in the spirit is that lethargy. It doesn't really care about anything. It doesn't believe that things are going to happen for the best. It doesn't seek to learn anything new. It doesn't love anything too much or hate anything too much, not hot or cold. It's lukewarm. Nothing really satisfies a spirit that has this sloth. One pastor said that sloth leads to indifference, which leads to boredom, which then leads ultimately to despair. So it really has the potential to drag us down, this sense of not caring, of just getting through things. It's why we live in a world when we have unthinkable technology right at our fingertips, and yet our kids are probably more bored than kids in the third world playing with sticks in the mud, wouldn't you say? And we grasp at stuff to entertain us and make us happy and help us get through. Meanwhile, we can't quite reach what would make us feel truly alive. We don't even fully know what that means a lot of the time. We search and we long and we work ourselves to death to get these things we already possess, like in that story. But we already have them not in the way that we expect. Our expectations are what is off. Our daily lives hold within them the key to our peace and our joy. In our gospel, Jesus tells us this. Many people think that salvation for Christians just means I am saved from hell, I can go to heaven for eternal life. But instead, Jesus says he came that we might have abundant life right now, starting now, in this life that we're living right here. The word life is used dozens of times in John. If you just scan through dozens of times, you'll see the word life. So you see, Jesus cares not just about what happens after we die, but about what our lives look like right now, our daily lives. So I think maybe we're not just saved from something, we are saved for something. We're saved for something, a purpose. The abundant life idea is what we are saved for. And that's the alternative that Jesus offers us. Abundant life does not look like the path of least resistance. Abundant life does not look like more of the same. It does not look like a call to retreat inward, but instead it's a call to go out, to go beyond our comfort zone or out of our safe place. There's abundance to be had there. The gospel passage talks about sheep coming into the sheepfold, but it ends with the shepherd leading them out into a world that is admitted to be a scary place. There's thieves and bandits out there. It can be scary. In the next chapter of John, we'll see that Jesus will be calling out Lazarus from the grave, calling him out into life. He calls us all to wake up out of our days, out of that protective autopilot, and pay attention to all the good he is trying to have us do in the world. He invites us into an adventure daily. So, in waking up to life, or fasting from lethargy, we feast on enthusiasm, on spirit, on abundance from God. We remember a time when we were excited about life, excited about our faith, and we consider maybe, how did we do that? If we think of a time when we felt that way, how did we do that? What was different about that time? Maybe there was more time to do less and just be with people. Maybe there was more time for you to be alone and reflect. Maybe there was more time for you to use your body in ways that felt healthy and good, that connected your body and your spirit. All kinds of things might have been different about that time. We're all different that way. But have you ever noticed that people we can look up to, people who seem the most fully alive, are often our young people? Little kids, and even some youth, take risks in their lives. When I sit around here and I watch the preschoolers, I think, wow, they just don't know enough not to try to make friends with everybody. They think everyone is a potential new friend, and they're not self-conscious enough to stifle laughter or to refuse to play a silly game. They're up for fun anytime. They are thrilled to learn about everything. Every season is an opportunity to learn something, from why the sky is blue to the change of seasons. They love to learn. And Jesus tells us to be like them in our faith. And I think it's because they still know how to embrace abundant life. Even us here at Christ Our Anchor, I feel a tremendous amount of energy since arriving here last month. I feel renewal in the air that was begun by Pastor Allison. I think this church is poised for God to be doing great things. And the same holds true for each of us individually in our own lives. The Easter story reminds us that there's more to our faith journey than meets the eye. There's a whole story, not just what's happening in the moment or how it feels in the moment. So that what will look like defeat turns into victory. What will look like death turns into abundant life for everyone who ever lived. God is up to something in you, more than meets the eye. Do you believe that? If you believe that, then shake off your sleep and keep your eyes open, because God is hard at work. And whatever happens, don't miss it. Amen.